The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Today's episode of Real Talk with Zuby is sponsored by my own book, Strong Advice, Zuby's Guide to Fitness for Everybody. As we approach this holiday period and the winter season when people tend to let themselves go, I think it's even more important that you make sure that you keep your body on track, both with your training and with your nutrition. If you struggle to stay motivated and consistent with your diet and exercise, I break it all down for you in simple terms so that you can really understand it and put this information to use in a way that you can remember it forever and you can change your life for the better forever. If you struggle to lose weight, if you're struggling to build muscle, trying to lose fat, trying to get fitter, trying to get stronger, whatever your goal is, Strong Advice will show you how to do that. Now, if you want to get a copy of Strong Advice, Zuby's Guide to Fitness for Everybody, go to teamzuby.com and you can check it out on there. It's available on ebook, paperback, and audiobook. I've been going to the gym for 16 years myself, and I've made a whole ton of mistakes, so I wrote this book so that you don't have to. You can go and you can get the most effective workouts in, you can craft your diet properly, and you can make sure you hit your goals and stick with your plan. Strong Advice, Zuby's Guide to Fitness for Everybody. You can go check that out right now at teamzuby.com. Now on with the program.
I am the man, sick with the slang, sick and I'm destined for fame. Do for the fam, not for the gram, stunt me, you're destined for pain. I do not front, I do not scam, put some respect on my name. Sick like Obain, click and I bang, y'all gon' remember the name. Y'all gon' remember the name.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world? I would like to welcome you back to the Real Talk with Zuby podcast. On today's episode, we have got on a good friend of mine. He is an internet entrepreneur. He is a web designer. He's an all-round hustler from the Dominican Republic. He is the king of mangoes. He is, of course, Jose Rosado. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, man. I just love your sense of humor. That's something I believe is one of the key components of your online success. I just laugh every time that you tweet some of your stuff. I'm just like, find myself laughing and enjoying everything that you do, from your music, from your tweets, from everything that you do online. It's just fantastic, man. You're just such a funny guy. And it's something that I think we need more in what you do. Because you talk a lot about culture and somewhat you're into politics, but you make it entertaining in a way that it doesn't feel offensive and it doesn't feel as, let's say, forced. So that's what I like about your content, man. It's such a refreshing, funny, engaging, and to be honest, it feels honest, which is quite rare in the things that you do, politics, culture, gender issues, you know, talking about social stuff that I don't talk about online because, you know,
I don't blame
you know, it brings a lot of hate, but I just love it, man. Thank you for the introduction.
Man.
I love mangoes because I live in Dominican Republic. Such a nice fruit, man. I just love
mangoes are beautiful. I'm Nigerian too. So, you know, I
can you have mangoes in
Nigeria. Oh gosh. Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to compare.
Mines are better. Sorry.
ooh, we'll see. That's shots fired. We'll see. I'll have to try Dominican Republic. I might have to come over there just to try the mangoes. And
oh, you will love it here, man. We'll the see. People, the temperature, the environment, the. I will take you everywhere, man. It's just beautiful here. It's a great place to vacation. You know, Dominicans, let's say influencers, I don't like that term, but let's use it for a lack of a better term. Dominican influencers, usually post the following things online. And they say like, I live where you vacation. And it's true. Mm-hmm. Dominican Republic is a place where people like to vacation, not only because of the environment and what you see on the beaches and all the fancy places, but also the warmth that people, that Dominican people have towards, you know, people who come here to invest their time, their money, and, you know, have a good time.
Yeah.
So there's something that Dominicans have that people just love, that warmth and that approach, that humanity, that big smile with which we receive foreigners. So yeah, we'll take you all the places we have here. It's such a awesome, beautiful country that, yeah, I'm just proud of this country.
Awesome, man.
I
will visit.
Struggling one, but I'm proud of it.
I will visit, man. You know, I've just come back from America. I was out there for 9 weeks, and there's a lot of people who, either on Twitter or on my podcast or just talking, they said, come and visit. And when you visit, like, you can stay in my house. And I stayed in their houses. So people need to know that I take these invitations very seriously.
You have a house here. If you're a house with a family that will love you, that will take care of you, and we will adopt you.
Awesome. Man, I that's how I felt when I was in the US. I stayed with different friends, some people I met on Twitter, you know, I stayed with their friends, with their families. And it was amazing. I felt like I have like surrogate families in all these different cities now. So it's beautiful.
Isn't that amazing that you can like find people on Twitter and just meet them, do business with them, create real and powerful bonds with people that live that you don't even know, like face to face. It's only from digital mediums such as Twitter. It's such a mind blowing thing. And to me, it's just sad that people don't use these social media accounts to create this kind of relationships, great, positive, and relationships that make you a better person. Mm. It's such a sad thing that people just use social media to, you know, talk badly about other things, about the things that they can't even control, while they could be using it as a medium to influence people into being better. And meeting people that just
tell everyone my secret. Don't tell everybody my secret.
Well, it's a secret that people know, but
I
believe people are just lazy and they just don't want to engage in a way that is positive. Is positive, because here's my perception of the current, let's say, mindset of some people is that their life is boring. So feeling it, expressing that hate and that, you know, those toxic feelings online makes them feel something that they cannot get in their life just because they're lazy, because they could find better friends. They could find a better job. They could learn new skills. They can help other people be better.
But, yeah.
You know, some people just be laid down and
don't want to put in complaining. The effort, man. Yeah, no, I was saying it's a lot easier to bring other people down, or at least try to, than it is to build yourself up or raise yourself up. You know, one of them takes some effort. The other one just takes some mean words through your keyboard or your phone or whatever. And you know, you're right. I think it's a shame. But at the same time, I think it's one of those things, you know, you've got to take the bad with the good. Mm-hmm. And if you yourself are of the right mindset, and if you yourself are resilient, then despite all the hate and negativity and trolling and crap that's on all of these platforms, especially Twitter and YouTube, I mean, you can find, in fact, it makes it easier to find the gems, right? Because you find the people who don't do that. Because if everyone else is doing that, and then, you know, 1 in 10 people are not doing that, and they're being positive, and they're putting out information that's helpful, and they're teaching people, and they're entertaining people, and they have a sense of humor, then actually, in a weird way, I'm kind of grateful that so many people have crappy mindsets, because
it makes it easier for us.
It makes it so much easier. People are like, man, Zuby, you're so different. You're like, what you're doing is special. I'm like, man, I think in a normal world, what I'm doing might not be that special, you know?
Yeah, you're just trying to make the world a better place, having fun, helping other people, which is not new.
It's not new.
Yeah, is that people just maybe fear doing it in front of the world? Because to be honest, let me tell you, 1 year ago when I started my online adventures, Jose Rosado's online adventures, damn, man, it was tough, because I'm camera shy. You might not perceive it because I've learned how to get into character.
Yeah.
But 1 year ago, man, it was tough for me to be talking in front of a camera in a language that is not my own. Mm. In fact, we recorded a podcast like eight months ago, you and I, but for some technical issues, we just didn't post it.
Yeah.
But still, I believe you can perceive the difference between the way I express my ideas in English, which is mm-hmm. not my first language, from back then to now. It was tough, but I discovered that if I didn't do the work, if I didn't practice my English every day, no one would do that for me. And I wouldn't be better. And people wouldn't pay attention to my message, which they've learned how to pay attention, because I know I read my content from 1 year ago and it sucks big time, man. It's when you read it, you feel more or less that it's someone that is struggling with his English, but you compare it to what I've been able to manage to create right now. It's a huge difference. And it's all because I decided that looking like a fool in front of the world was less expensive than, you know, lying in a corner crying, I'm broke, I'm sad, the world is against me. So I just discovered that looking like a fool is just, it's less risky. Dude, and it paid off massively, man. It paid off massively.
Of course, man. You're crushing it, dude. I mean, you're one of the most inspiring people on Twitter, dude.
Thank you.
And you know, this is why stuff like this is hilarious to me, man. I mean, you're in the Dominican Republic, okay? Man. Compared to the UK, USA, most of the Western world, considered a poor country, English is not your first language. You're not a native English speaker. And you're here not making excuses. you're here crushing it, right? Like taking these tools in a language uh-huh. that's not even the language you primarily think in and speak in your whole life. And you're going out there and you're not saying, oh, it's hard because this, or, oh, I don't have this advantage, or this person has this privilege. No, no, no. You've got like all these people. It's like you've been, I don't know. It's like the people who have really been gifted a lot of the real privileges in the world, like on a global level. Okay. Right. People don't understand. It's better to be poor in America, inverted commas, poor in the UK or in America. You're better off still than like 98% of the world. This is what people
that is 100%
get,
true.
Right? So you have people who
let me do some math right now.
Yeah.
I will tell you what was my first salary.
Okay.
I used to earn like 10 years ago. How much again? Let me see. Between $260 a month. 10 wow. years ago. Okay, that was my first salary. What I did with that, I bought a cell phone because I was stupid. Mm-hmm. And I believe I bought something for my family, like some groceries and stuff.
Yeah.
But $260, man, that's a month, mm-hmm. 10 years ago. Right now, well, more, but
yeah, sure.
But still, that $260 is not that much money. It has never been much money, and it will never be a lot of money. And that was my salary 10 years ago.
Exactly.
In fact, a couple of years ago, it was basically maybe 20 grand a year, a little bit less than 20 grand a year, which is, that would be considered below poverty in the United States or in a more developed country.
Dude, couple of weeks ago, people were telling me that as a single person, that it's a struggle to live on $100,000 a year. I don't know if you saw this conversation. Nope. I was like, what on earth? Like, what are these people smoking? If you can't live... If you can't live on $100,000 a year as one person, this isn't even a family, one person. I'm like, what are you doing?
Dude, $100,000 like, here is what rich Dominican earn a year.
Dude, I live on way less than that. Way. I live on less than half of that. And I'm not like in poverty. Like, it's crazy. I don't know what's wrong with people. I'm like, what are you doing?
They just overspend, you know, and they want to live in the best place ever, the most expensive, smallest apartment in the world, which is dumb, man. It's dumb, especially when we have technology that keeps us connected, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't have to live in the most expensive place to get connected and to meet people. You don't have to do that. Of course, you might feel good, but here's my perspective in that. Getting into debt for feeling good for a little while is dumb. It's just dumb. People get into debt even for buying pets, man. I was reading something the other day. There are services that lend you money to buy cats.
That's insane.
And bugs. Like, no, don't do that, man. That's stupid. Are you actually willing to risk your sanity? Because that actually cripples your sanity and your health and everything. To having a dog, which will only incur into more expenditures and more money invested, because having a dog is a big responsibility. If you know, if you're a good person and you treat the dog with, you know, with nice. So yeah, people just invest their money, which is not investing, in dumb things that they don't actually need. You don't need the best cell phone. You don't need the best screens. You don't need the best gadgets to get things done. People with less resources can make way more than that. You know, I'm living proof of that. I live in what people consider a third world country. I don't consider it like that, but perception.
But developing, it's developing.
It's developing.
Yeah, sure.
And I didn't have the resources. Let's say I didn't have the connections in Twitter or in social media. I didn't even speak the language as well as I do now. And here am I benefiting. Yeah, from technology, from Twitter, from what we're doing right now, a podcast, meeting people that, you know, from all paths of life. Mm-hmm. And that is satisfying, man, to me, because I'm living proof that you can make a full-time living online.
Yeah.
By telling your message and teaching people what you do.
And the way this podcast happens, I want to give some context to this, because this tells you a lot about Jose's mentality here, okay? I posted on Twitter 7 minutes before I hit the record button. I posted, who wants to record a podcast with me? You have to be ready in the next 10 minutes. Jose replies back in under three minutes, just saying like, hi. Yes, or hi, right? There's lots of people who have asked me to, you know, do this, do that. Oh, there's no opportunities. There's no that. He was just boom on it. Okay.
Yeah, man. And I'm free.
Yeah. Well, it explains a lot, but you know, there's even people who might be free and who might want this opportunity or might want that, but they don't take it. There's always some kind of excuse. Sometimes, you know, sometimes there's a valid reason, you know, I'm picking up my kids from school right now, so of course I can't jump on it. But sometimes, you know, someone could do it, but they just don't take that opportunity. So I want to talk a little more, man, about your actual life story. We've talked a little bit about where things are now and some of your thoughts around that, but tell us a little bit more about Jose himself. I mean, tell us about growing up and how you got to the stage where you are now.
Well, I was born in 1987. I'm 32, although I look a little bit younger. That's why I'm trying to grow a beard. It has always been a dream of mine, trying to grow a beard, but we don't have that genetic in my family. So I'm just going to will it into reality, man. That's the way it is. If you want something, even though you're not supposed to have it, you at least must try it. You know, I've seen my father trying to grow a beard. No, it doesn't work. If you ever meet my brother, he has no facial hair, like only a couple of, you know, things. Whiskers. Here. And I'm trying. So I'm going to will it into reality. But if I got invested in thinking, oh, my family can't grow a beard, they cannot have a huge, powerful and manly beard, you know, I wouldn't even try. I know I look like dirt right now, but that's part of the sacrifice you must do. You must look like a fool when you're trying to learn something. You must look, you must risk looking like a fool when you're trying to do something in front of people. And I say in front of people because right now, you know, I'm in front of basically of the world, man, because this will be posted later on. And well, that aside, so I was born and raised here in the Dominican Republic, and I don't know if this is a blessing or something else, but I just decided that living in a country that struggles so much financially and socially, and I just decided to make that into a blessing. Why? Because I can turn my story, that is, you know, I've had my fair share of struggles, into something that people can find inspiration, okay? So I like telling the following thing. You can turn your story into a pot of gold just by telling your stories and your struggles and how you solve those struggles to the people who might follow you. And even if you don't have the following, people will pay attention and they will like or retweet or share your stuff if you dare to promote it. And that's what I did. I dared against my will because I don't feel comfortable, you know, being vulnerable, let's say, in front of the world. But if I don't do it, no one else will do it. So I was born and raised here, and I believe I will die here. I don't think I will ever live in another place that is not Dominican Republic. Okay. I like traveling. Mm-hmm. I don't like, you know, getting into the airplane, but where when I'm down in the ground, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But still, my wife and I decided that there's so much to do here in this country that we are not willing to leave our family, leave our legacy here, just to have a good time in other places. Because here's the thing. My wife is a musician. She has a music academy. We both have a music academy. And we want to bring music, real music, no the dumpster fire that we hear in you know, in
I know
social media or in the radio.
Yeah.
Real music that makes people feel good stuff, not feel lost for other people, which is basically what people are promoting right now. So we decided to get that in order and build it up in a way that people find comfort and find in music some kind of magic that you cannot find in other place. Okay. So yeah, last year I decided to throw away my fears of being judged, of being, you know.
Before you get to this, man.
Yeah, tell me.
You're talking from last year. I want to rewind like 15 years
more.
Ago. Okay. Yeah, I want to rewind more. You're talking about your wife, you're talking about Twitter.
Oh, okay. More.
Online business. I'm curious to the story behind all of this.
Early 1900s. Yeah, I'm going to go back.
1990s, so, you mean?
1900s.
Oh, 1900s. Oh, okay. 1900s. Okay. All right. Okay.
My grandparents were born.
Okay, here we go.
From the side of my mother. Okay. They met. There's something that I find curious that they more or less have the same name. So my grandfather, his name is Leonidas, or Leonidas, if you want to say it more or less in English, like the guy from 300.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, her name is Leonor. So here we call them the Leos because they start with L-E-O. And they just found themselves, and a beautiful story of how a man can make a woman fall in love. He was poor as hell, man. My granddad saw a car for the first time like when he was like 15. And he just got scared because he had never seen a car. At least that's the story he told me. You know, I don't know if it's true or not. I just believe it. So it's probably true. So the first time he saw a car, I don't know, in the early 1900s, I don't know, he got scared. And he was very, very poor. And he met this beautiful woman. Yeah, my grandmother.
Yeah, on Tinder.
He didn't. What? Dominican Tinder with Morse code. So they met. He made an effort to woo her, and they got married. We have all the cards. The it's such a beautiful story. If you see me crying later on, it's because I just have that's a soft spot there. So they got married. Then my mother was born. She's the second of three childs, and she grew up and she met my father. My father was an English teacher, which is quite weird because he never taught me. He never talked to me in English. Never. Everything I know from English is because I learned it maybe in school or watching movies on TV, but he never talked to me in English, which is quite rare, to be honest. And that's some of the things he actually told me that he regrets, that he never spoke to me in English. So, like, really, never. And he taught English to my mother. And my mother made the huge mistake of approaching my dad, who was her teacher, and tell him, Hey, Jose. My father's name is Jose.
Okay.
Hey, teacher Jose. I had a dream with you last night.
Oh, that was wrong.
She shouldn't have to. She was very, very, very naive. At least yeah. she says so, you know. You never know. And my father, you know, whoop, alarm, alarm, alarm. And, you know, they did their stuff and she got pregnant after a while. Out of wedding, you know, and here's a big thing because okay, this is back then, 1986, 1987. You know, Dominican Republic was it's still conservative, more or less, but back then it's way more. So they had shotgun marriage, man. You either get married or you have to.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I should tell this, but I'll say it because it's they've talked about this before. So she was pregnant with me. Mm-hmm. And she didn't want me nor my father. So they went to an abortion clinic and tried to get an abortion. Wow. I was not supposed to be here, you know?
Whoa.
Yeah. And they told me that and they asked for forgiveness. You know, I didn't have to forgive anything because their life's work has been fabulous. They work with couples and save marriages from the shitstorm that is being married sometimes. Mm. So from their work, I didn't even have to forgive them, you know? So I was supposed to be aborted, man.
Wow.
And I wasn't supposed to be having this conversation with you. I don't know if I should be even talking about this.
Dude, man, this is powerful, man. Like,
let's say it.
You already know I'm very pro-life, but I didn't know I could be more pro-life than I am.
Yeah.
I am now. So
I was not supposed to be here.
Wow.
And here's what happened. They went to the abortion clinic. It was not an abortion clinic, you know, because that's basically new. Mm. But they went to the guy who was supposed to, you know, take me out out of her womb.
Yeah.
And all the guy did was the following. He had a photo of his family and he grabbed the photo. Look, this is my family. This is Alberto. I'm just inventing the names. This is Alberto. Mm. This is my wife. This is my other kid. This is my family. Mm-hmm. This is what you guys could have if you decide to have this kid.
Yeah.
Something happened in the brain of both of my parents that they just, okay, let's give it a try.
Yeah.
And I'm here. Wow. A year later, my brother was born. That was a big mistake. You know, a huge mistake, you know, and you know, my father was not a good man back then. Okay. He later became good, like very good.
Okay.
Now, I'm not talking about cheating and stuff like that. It was the way he treated my mother.
Okay.
And the way she treated him. They fought so much that my mother, like, when I say fight, it's not like physical. I'm talking about verbally.
Yeah, yeah.
My mother developed massive anxiety and she basically needed pills and stuff to get fixed. But then, you know, my grandmother being a marriage savior, because that's her work. My grandmother and my granddad, that's their life work. They save marriages. That's what they do in church. She basically forced my parents to go to a retreat. I believe it's the correct name. A place, you know, where you find God and stuff like And something happened, the retreat. My father heard a song, ironically a song, about a lost sheep. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it's a famous song here, you know, about the sheep that got lost and then the shepherd went and left everything to find that sheep.
Yep.
My father saw himself in that lost sheep.
Okay.
And he told me like he just cried like a kid and that changed him. My father right now is a deacon in the Dominican Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And they are very, very respected. And this is common knowledge here, you know. They're very well known, by the way, here in the Catholic Church. My brother also, because he's like a motivational speaker and flies all over the place to many places to talk about stuff. I don't do that, but they do it.
Yeah.
And he found God, man. in a stupid, silly song, which you just hear, it's silly. And we know it, but still every time I hear that song, we weep a little bit, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful.
And they found God and they just became the people that they are now. Mm. And I'm here because some doctor just showed them a picture. I believe, I don't know if I'm correct, I believe that is illegal in the United States. If you go to the abortion clinic, you can, the doctor cannot persuade you to not have an abortion.
Yeah.
That is what I understand. I don't know.
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
Man.
He persuaded my parents not to have an abortion. You know, that's my backstory. And it's all because of my granddads. They saved my parents' marriage. You know, even though they did their best to raise my parents, well, they made the mistake of, you know, messing around. It was a mistake. You know, they were like 19 and 20, you know, and they had me. I was born from a mistake. I was born from a shitty situation, man. Mm. And now I'm here changing people's lives online. I can actually say changing people's lives.
Yeah, you are, man.
I have the receipts to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all because my grandfathers that basically forced my parents to get married and go to the retreat where my father and my mother just found God once more.
Mm-hmm.
And because that doctor showed them a stupid picture, man, of a family. Who would have guessed that a family picture can change someone's life like that?
That's incredible, dude.
Here. It is incredible, man. When you see that, it's just amazing. And now I'm here changing lives. My parents are well-respected coaches in marriage and stuff like that here in the DR.
Mm.
My grandparents have gone tons of times viral because people, without knowing, they just record them and upload the videos online.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's a funny occurrence, man, because they don't know who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, people record them because they see something in them. It's
okay.
So transparent, so visible, that people record them, upload it to social media here in DR, and it goes viral. Like, I've seen like two or three times they went viral without they even knowing.
Yeah.
We just, hey, mama, I call her mama and papa. Hey, you're here in YouTube or Instagram. And they're like, oh, that was a pretty day. So because of that decision of my parents having me, my brother now is also changing people's lives in Central America. And he also has a life mission of going to different prisons and talking to the inmates, you know, trying to persuade them into living a better life, because prisons here, oh man, it's horrible, man.
Wow.
People, it's like sardines, everyone together.
Yeah.
A hole in which you do your stuff.
Oh,
number
gosh.
One, number two, in a hole in front of everyone, man. It's what you see
in the
movies. It's the same thing, man. It's,
man.
Movies don't even
capture it.
They don't need hyperbole to showcase the reality of Dominican prisons. It is what you see on TV. Wow. And he has gone there, especially to the prison of kids, you know, 16, 15, 14, they just went the wrong way and they got locked up. Kids. Yeah. And he, you know, is trying to persuade these kids to be better. And he has some good testimonials of kids and adults that have changed their life and have become good people when they get out of the prison. All because of a couple of decisions that people in the past did.
It's amazing.
They risked messing their whole life, my parents, having me. Because I was not wanted.
Yeah.
And having a kid that you don't want can mess your life. That's an unfortunate reality, you know? And it's a reality people don't like to admit, but it's an unfortunate reality. They took that risk of completely changing their life, not only for me, but by marrying, this is, you have to marry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now, because of that, I am here.
Man, that's...
talking with you.
Wow.
You know,
that's incredible.
That's, It is incredible, man.
That's incredible, man.
It is incredible. And I'm just grateful that they decide to have me.
Yeah, and everyone who you've affected. This is the thing, man. It's like, you know, like I don't want to dwell on that issue, but you know, I'm someone who's pro-life, and you know, for basic ethical reasons. But one thing that in that whole conversation that people don't seem to think about or want to honestly acknowledge is, you know, I'm someone who's very interested with the idea of potential, right? And I think everyone's mission in the world really should be to, you know, reach their own potential and then in various ways, essentially help other people to do the same, whether that's their children, their friends, their family, strangers in the real world, strangers on the internet, whatever it is, right? The way the whole world works and gets better is by everyone having their own unique talents and knowledge and abilities and everything, and then getting better themselves and then helping other people to get better. That's one thing I love about what you do. Of course, you're an online businessman. You know, you make your money from what you do, but everything you put out there is offering value to people, trying to make people better. It's what I try to do through my music. It's what you do through your music academy. It's what I try to do through my fitness book and the information I put out there, the podcast, the interviews, everything. I want people to be able to read it, listen to it, and leave at least slightly better than they were before. I hope people listen to this podcast, and after they listen to it, you know, they think about it and are thinking, man, okay, I picked up something positive from that, or I found some kind of inspiration in that. That's,
you know,
people ask me what motivates me, and it's everything like that. And I just think it's crazy how much potential is squandered in this world across all different levels, let alone taking it to that very beginning level of, you know, not even allowing a person to live to begin with. Like sometimes I wonder, right? Maybe the person who would have some of these diseases and problems that exist in the world, how do we know that the person who wasn't going to fix those things wasn't aborted? You know what I mean? It sounds, someone will come and push back and say, oh, no, that's not your, it's not your right to make this. I'm like, look, I'm just talking pragmatically, right? Regardless of someone's views on that particular issue, right? There are a lot of extremely talented, successful, massively loved people who share that same story. Mm-hmm. Right? There are people who are now athletes, rappers, entrepreneurs, business owners, or whatever, who if they, you know, from the very beginning, they almost were not supposed to be here, right? Like there was that decision at that beginning stage. And sometimes I do just think, man, like for all these problems and things people complain about, it's literally possible that, you know, imagine, think of the biggest, I don't know who motivates you most, but think of like the biggest, most successful, most world-changing, whatever people in this world, right? What if, I don't know, we're communicating through these computers and everything. What if Bill Gates's parents made that decision, right? You see what I mean? Like all the things that he created, all the jobs, all the people he helped, all the software, everything he invented and created, gone, right? What about Steve Jobs? I mean, Steve Jobs was adopted, right? Steve Jobs.
Yeah, he was adopted.
Yeah, Steve Jobs wasn't raised by his birth. What if they'd taken that other, all the things that he made, everything he built, gone.
Gone.
Gone. And that's a one in a lifetime talent, right? There's not another Steve Jobs, is there, right? He's like the one, he's the one and only. So if he wasn't there, then all that stuff. So I sometimes think you're looking at the numbers and it's like, man, like a billion people. I don't know how many people who are meant to be here that aren't here now. And it's like, man, like what would some of those people have done? And to me, that like blows my mind. When I think about it, I'm just like, man, who knows? Maybe we wouldn't have cancer anymore. Maybe we wouldn't have AIDS anymore. Maybe the person who would have created all the stuff people complain about, climate change. People are saying, oh, don't have children because climate change. Maybe the person who would have solved climate change. What, you know what I mean? Maybe
here's my like, opinion on that.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's crazy.
If you don't want to have kids because of climate change, I'm 100% okay with you. Okay? No more people like you in the future.
Natural selection.
Natural selection, my man. If you choose that, I'm 100% okay with that. I don't want people who don't want a lasting legacy.
Crazy,
screw you. Hopefully this doesn't get me in trouble, but if it does, I don't care. I live in the Dominican Republic. Come at me.
You're safe out there.
Oh man, I'm safe with machetes and stuff, you know.
I'm in the UK, man. I need to be careful, you know.
Oh, you need we have free speech here.
Yeah.
You know, we can criticize the government and talk crap about the officials.
Yeah.
And you don't get in trouble for expressing your opinions here, you know.
Good.
Not as much as in your country. Because when you don't have problems, you invent them, you know. You know, hate speech is just a stupid invention.
Yeah.
That's not real. You know, I will get in trouble, I believe, if you post this, but that's okay. You can come to my country. I'll drive you around.
Okay, cool.
And you will see what real freaking hate speech is.
People Oh, really?
In the streets. Yeah, that's hate speech to me.
What's that?
Stealing your money.
Okay.
Politicians taking everything you have to enrich themselves and keeping the population poor. Mm. Real poverty. Not $30,000 a year poverty.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
I'm talking living on a $200 wage.
I hear you.
A salary of $200 a month.
Yeah, man. I mean, my family background
living
is
$1 or $2 a day.
Yeah.
No, that's freaking real poverty. When you have that kind of poverty and that kind of problems in your country, you don't go around talking about, oh, my hate speech. Oh, I feel so bad. Oh, my anxiety. Mm. You don't have time to think about anxiety and about stress.
No.
You either do it or you die.
Mm.
That's the bottom line, man. So when I see all these people online, especially online through their iPhones, oh, I feel this or that or whatever. I'm just thinking to myself, you don't know what the hell you have.
Yep.
The privilege, man, that you have of being able to grab your freaking $1,000 iPhone to say, I'm sad, I'm depressed. I won't curse, man, but they just, I don't get mad often.
Yeah.
But that thing makes me mad
because
you don't know what you have. Instead of freaking complaining about the unfairness of life, try to help other people. Try to help those who are not in the same position that you are. And you will see that all that stress and anxiety and bad feelings that you have about yourself are just dumb and can be erased, like destroyed by helping others. When you provide value to people, you will notice that all those excuses that you have are dumb, are stupid, are irrational, and they do not make you better. Okay? So that's the only thing that makes me, one of the few things that actually makes me mad. When I see real privilege, you know, complaining about their supposed struggles, invented problems, because they are here in your mind. They don't, you cannot see stress around you. You cannot grab it.
Mm.
You know? It's here. It's here in your mind. And yes, I'm downplaying it because people have the power to control that, or at least to, you know, reduce it by providing value, by doing something with their life. It's not only about making money, because money will not solve those issues for you. It will help a lot,
sure.
But it's not only that, okay? If you earn $1 million a year, but you don't like what you do, you will feel bad about yourself, you know? So all those stress and anxiety, it's not only because of money or financial problems. It's also about the value you feel you're providing to the world. And if you actually like what you do,
yep.
When you like what you do, when you find value in what you do, when you other people find what you do valuable, and you also get paid for it, because that's you have to get paid.
Sure.
Things change. When you stop watching the world through the lens of victimhood, when you stop watching the world through the lens of complaining, of everything is against me, the universe is unfair, and you watch the world through the lens of, okay, maybe I cannot do a lot of things to change that, but let me start at least changing myself. Okay? Let me start making myself unbreakable, indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
When you make yourself like that, people around you notice. And when they notice, they also find inspiration. Not all of them. Some of them become haters.
Of course.
And that's okay. That's okay, because then you know you can just swipe them away. Mm-hmm. Okay, swipe left. That's how Tinder works. I don't know how it works. I don't use that.
Yeah.
Because I'm happily married with a beautiful Latina girl,
a
woman. So when you turn yourself into a valuable individual that people cannot touch, when you become a sovereign person, you control your time, you control your money, you control the things that surround you, your thoughts, your action, the world around you becomes better. I'm proof of that. You are proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
My marriage, my friends have been saved because I decided to stop complaining about the crappy things I cannot change, like climate change. I cannot change that.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot change the government.
Mm-mm.
All I can do is become a better person and serve as inspiration to others for them to become better, increase their self-value, and, you know, turn into someone that other people can find inspiration.
Absolutely.
That is what I've learned in the last couple of years. When I become good at what I do, other people find inspiration in that, and other people find inspiration on those people who find inspiration on me. Mm-hmm. So it's like Amway.
Inspirational.
It's like Amway, you know? Yep. Yeah, it's like MLM. Motivational Amway. So yeah. I'm the nod, you know? And people who get inspired by me also inspire other people.
Absolutely.
So it's the pyramid of self-development. This one works.
This one makes you money.
Pyramid scheme that works, you know.
Yeah, this one makes you money.
Makes you money in a way that
you don't need to be at
helps
the top.
Other people make money too.
Exactly. You don't need to be at the top.
Yep.
You don't need to buy any Dodge
products.
It's
a great way to provide value to the world and leave a lasting legacy. Maybe people will not remember your name, but at least something you did that made the world a better place can change the whole world. I just told you. Well, I'm not a world changer. I don't consider that.
I thought you said you weren't a motivational speaker. What's going on?
I'm not.
I'm just a guy.
I'm joking. I'm just a guy who says dumb stuff online and people like it. Mm. I'm a guy who asks dumb questions and people say yes to the dumb questions. That's all I do. I don't mind looking like a fool. It's not comfortable, but I just forgot about it. I just do it even if I don't feel comfortable. You know, and talking about that, one small action can actually change the world, at least for someone. The doctor showed the picture to my dad and mom.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that picture, they decided not to abort me. That changed my world because it turned my world into a reality.
Yeah.
My world would not exist if it wasn't for that
small action.
You know, that dumb action.
Let's say small, not dumb.
Yeah, I'm just downplaying it to make it more, you know, more
magical. I get you. I'd say small action, not dumb action.
Small action, small action as showing a picture of your family changed my world and the world of my parents. And both of them have changed the world for a lot of people.
Yeah.
With their ministry, with their coaching, so powerful, with their stuff, and with all the things that they've done. My brother also have this a fruit of that small action of showing the picture to my parents.
Yeah.
He was born after a year of me, which
I
don't recommend. don't have kids back to back. Wait at least 3 or 4 years. And all because someone decided to show a picture to a misguided couple of basically teenagers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 21, 20, you're still dumb.
Yeah.
You still don't have life experience.
Sure.
And I'm here talking with you.
No doubt, man. And this is Real Talk with Jose. I feel like we still got time to go, but I was like, man, after this speech, I can just, you know, close this out. And this is peaked. I was like, the podcast is peaked. It can't get any better now.
It will get better, man. The more people you interview, the better it will get. And the better you will get. I imagine you like a Rogan, you know. Joe Rogan is basically the only podcast that I watch.
Okay.
Yours, of course.
Thank you.
But after Rogan, you know, I've been following him for so long, and you can see that it never gets boring, and he only gets better.
Absolutely.
And I see the same thing for you. You will only get better. The audio quality will only get better. The video quality will only get better. The people you interview will only get better. the amount of change you will produce in the world, positive change, will only get larger, bigger, and more powerful. And awesome. With that power, you know, you are a responsible guy. I know that you will use it for good, which is rare, you know, it's rare. So you are a rare candy, like Pokemon, you know, you're a rare candy. You help people level up.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's going to have to go in a song now.
I'm a rare. You're gonna rap about rare candies.
That's going in a song. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, and you've been inspired by Jose.
I'm gonna. Yeah, that's gonna. I help people level up like a rare candy. That's coming in.
Yeah, that's gonna be a hit, man.
That's going in a rap. It might
just take care that Nintendo doesn't sue your ass because they will.
No, they can't. That's not a. No, you can in music. You can say anything like that with no problem.
Oh, nice. Yeah. This is also positive music. You're not demeaning
that. Dude, wow. I'm thinking like, wow, I don't even, my mind is just blown right now. I've got so many things on my head. So
would you like to talk about the thing we're doing together?
Yeah, sure. So for people who don't know, people wouldn't know because I haven't announced it, but Jose and I are currently working on a Twitter course that's going to help people to dominate their Twitter. Help them to write better tweets.
The Twitter rare candy.
Yeah, help them level up massively. Help people write better tweets, communicate better, network better, learn how to monetize Twitter and actually make money from it rather than purely waste time on it. We've got a whole bunch of stuff that we're going to cover on it. Jose, do you want to speak about it a little bit more?
Yeah, man. I'm going to tell you something. Twitter changed my life. You know, it's the dumpster fire of social media, but that's a good thing because people downplay what you can do with Twitter. I believe that Twitter also changed your life. That video of you, you know, the mystical video that will forever live in people's minds, that will leave a lasting legacy that people will talk about in history books. I see that, man. I see that, especially if you run as a president.
Yeah.
United Kingdom. So, first minister, by the way, because you don't have presidency.
Yeah, prime minister.
Yeah. So Twitter changed your life, man. That's my perception. It also changed my life. I met you. I met tons of people that are now my business partners, people who I followed for years and people who I bought their products, people who I was a big fan of, like a fangirl, like, wow, this guy retweeted me. Wow, I'm dying.
Yeah.
Are now my business partners. It changed my life. I'm now, Twitter is basically it's not my full-time job. Mm-hmm. It's actually like maybe 30% of my time. But it has become such a great business for me that I consider it a full-time income from all the income that I make thanks to Twitter.
Yeah.
Just through selling my courses, selling my mentorship, selling my information, selling mm-hmm. coaching, helping other people level up their careers.
Mm.
You know, I've taught people how to monetize their skills and sell it on Twitter because this is not about BSing people into paying you money.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not about that. It's about teaching, at least in my case, it's about teaching people how to use their skills. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have skills, you will die from hunger. You need to have skills. How to use those skills, showcase them on Twitter, and profiting from those skills. I've helped kids with 20, 21, 22 years old make a great income on Twitter. I've helped other people, older people, make an income on Twitter. I have one of my mentees, he's a 50-year-old guy.
Mm.
I taught him how to create his first information product. He sold like he has sold like 30, 40 copies of his first information product. And he basically has 400 followers on Twitter.
Nice.
So you don't even need to have a huge following to sell those skills that you have, mm-hmm. to promote your ideas, to learn to make money while learning because I'm still learning a lot about monetizing my own skills and how to speak better and how to convey my ideas better in this language that is not mine. And I feel like I'm being paid to learn in front of the world. Think about that.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot and I'm getting paid for that.
Yeah.
And I'm helping other people monetize their brands. I've helped people with 100,000 followers, 150,000 followers, 60 in your case, people with 300 followers,
yeah,
monetize their skills and provide real, tangible value. Not making money fast, BSing yourself, BSing people into paying you. Providing real, honest value to an audience, no matter how big it is. That's more or less how you and I more or less met.
Yeah.
You remember when, hey, Subi, let's talk about creating a book for you. Here's how you do it. I told you more or less. And that same week, that same weekend that we talked, you launched a pre-sale of your book.
And it sold out.
Now look at that. you printed out, man.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Doesn't it feel different when you have the printed version?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I haven't printed one of my books. I should, man. I would like to have that.
Yeah,
you know, my wife also, she's a writer, by the way. She has a couple of printed books, you know, and I would just print the books and say, ha, I'm also an author, Brenda. So you don't have anything on me. But yes, we are a family of hustlers here, man, because my wife is also a hustler. I will raise my kids to be hustlers.
Good.
And my brother's the biggest hustler I've met. My parents are also hustlers. So I'm teaching people how to hustle in a way that is not draining and it is satisfying.
And it's also honest.
Yeah.
It's also
especially honest.
You know, when people hear the word hustle, for a lot of people, because, you know, people say like drug dealers and stuff, hustle. So hustle has a negative connotation in English, right? Yeah. You know, people think of it as something that's a bit unscrupulous or untruthful, but it's not in this case. This is really learning how to offer something of value, which people actually desperately want and need.
And are willing to pay for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if people desperately need and want something, they will be willing to pay for it. If you're trying to sell them some nonsense, then that's when you have to trick them or lie to them to get them to buy it, because people don't want to buy nonsense that they don't need. But if you can offer people something that actually helps them in some way, shape, or form, increases their health, their wealth, their happiness, their relationships, then I and everybody else is willing to pay for that. Think of everything you buy on a daily basis. It's generally to do with one of those categories. It makes you, you need it to survive, or, you know, this is excluding, you need it to survive, or it makes you happy, or it improves your relationships somehow.
Or you just want it because you want to.
Yeah, but but that's generally happiness, right? You know.
Yep. Like you it makes you it. Happy.
Yeah, it makes you happy. It entertains you. It doesn't always have to be, you know, value in the sense of it makes you make money. But, you know, I'm in the world of music. Why do people pay for concerts? Why do people
entertainment?
Why do people go to the movies? It's entertainment. Entertainment has value. So education or entertainment, or even if you can combine the two, which is something I personally do try to do a lot, right? I want to, like you said at the beginning of the podcast, right? Like, I've got a sense of humor. It's like, I want to entertain people and also educate people. Not like a teacher, you know, stand up there and lecture you and put you to sleep. And also not just be trolling 100% of the time and just posting memes and jokes, which is funny, but it doesn't. Which
I do appreciate your trolling skills. Yeah, man. They're like the highest level of trolling.
I do intellectual trolling.
Because your level of trolling is you don't actually know if someone doesn't know who you are, they cannot figure it out.
No, they
can't. So there's a fine line between trolling and being like a dumbass on Twitter or in social media. You are like right there in between, you know, the perfect spot of trolling.
Thank you. I try.
Yeah, that's such a fun thing to watch.
A lot of it is just having fun. That's the key. Like, again, so many people on these platforms get so emotional and so angry.
Oh, man.
And I just have
fun. They don't have anything else going for them, man. Yeah, if you get angry online, you don't have anything else.
Fun, man. It's like, look. Especially because the world is so ridiculous and, you know, there is suffering and there is problems and all these things, but you have to be able to laugh at it. It's in the same with the politics. People go crazy on all the politics, screaming at each other. And I'm like, look, you have to, that's why, you know, people don't like it when I say this, but this is part of why I appreciate Donald Trump being president, right? Because it's funny. the most powerful man in the world is a Twitter troll.
Yeah,
he's a troll. like, this is, I don't care like what you say. I'm like, how is that not funny? Like, that is hilarious. This guy was like, he's not supposed to be president, you know? Like,
yeah, he wasn't supposed to be, man. I won a bet, by the way. I won a bet, several bets. I bet like, this guy's going to win, man. I just felt it, man. I don't even care about the politics and his ideas. But I just say, this guy's going to win. He's just getting too much press. And I won a couple of Dominican pesos, which is like nothing.
Yeah.
And I won a dinner, man. I bet with my father-in-law. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, he thought like Hillary was going to win. And Trump was
whoever is having the most fun is going to win.
Yeah.
Dude, they're still having fun. That's why he's going to win
yeah,
again.
I see it.
Like, you can see who's having a good time and who's having a bad time.
I try to avoid Twitter politics, but you know, when you're on Twitter, it's unavoidable.
It is.
Because sometimes people just retweet some political thing and you just, what's this? Click and, mm-hmm. and you read it, you know? And that's my perception too. The side of the president, it's having more fun than the other side, you know. Fun. It's quite weird to see so much hatred for a man or a woman. I don't know how he identifies himself, but it's such a weird thing having so much hate for someone who you don't even know.
It is weird, man. I'll tell you.
Yeah, creating businesses and an identity around that hate.
It is.
When weird. This guy is not here, these people will just throw themselves, you know, through the windows.
Yeah, because
they will not have that that feeling of hating someone with all their guts when this guy goes away in 5 years. Because let's face it, man. Let's face it. You know, from the outside, I have no say in their politics. I don't give a crap about having a say in their politics. But from the outside, you know,
it's easier.
You just can't get enough of this guy. You know, they have to talk about him.
Yeah.
Stop talking about him, and you will see how he loses. They just can't because it's profitable.
No, they can't. But I was going to say, I mean, with the whole political thing, I mean, this is similar with me. Part of the reason why it's unavoidable is because I believe that both of us are two people who are a lot more interested in mindset. And I know certainly in my case, things like culture and psychology, I'm a lot more interested in those subjects than I am directly in politics. But the crossover, there's a big crossover, okay? So yesterday, there came out this article in Forbes where it was saying that Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, donated $98 million to help homeless people, okay?
Yeah.
And some people, half of the people are going, good for him. That's awesome.
Yay, good.
That's great. That's charitable. I'm on that side. I imagine you're on that side.
Yeah.
Other people were saying, oh, well, that's only 0.09% of his wealth, or he only did that as a tax write-off, or he should have given more, or should, right? And I'm like, this guy just gave $98
million. Dollars. And cash, basically cash.
So to me, this is a mindset thing, but it crosses over into politics. The stuff with the Trump derangement syndrome and whatever, right? To me, this is people having effed up mindsets, right? Like if you have a solid mindset, Donald Trump is not ruining your life, right? There's no one who has their mindset in check whose life is being fundamentally made worse because Donald Trump is president or because Brexit is happening.
You think, this guy, you know, the numbers don't lie. You know, lowest level unemployment, that has to do something with the economy.
The highest
economy in the universe ever. So that has some effect. Even if you do not believe in the facts, you will perceive a difference. Even though you might not even pay attention to it.
Yeah.
But everyone is, you know, better off right now. You know, some people might not like to accept that reality, mm-hmm. but from the outsider's perspective, all I can see are the facts. Mm-hmm. And the facts point to one direction. Mm-hmm. Things are getting better economically. I'm not talking about socially or whatever.
Sure.
Economically, United States has never been better ever in the history of humanity.
All-time high.
The most powerful economic force ever recorded in the history of the universe. Mm-hmm. Okay? Those are the facts. Mm-hmm. You might not agree with that, and that's okay. I don't mind.
Yeah.
It's bad for you not to agree with that. But if you do agree with that, make the best out of that economy. I'm sure making the best out of it, I suggest you, listener, do the best to profit from that and also help other people to profit from that huge wave that it will run, it will dry out.
It will, of course. Yeah.
It will. Nothing that grows too big as fast as it did stays there. It will drop like a rock one day. So better take advantage of it right now.
Mm. But people don't want to, man. People want to blame everything else. So I'm just seeing the time, man. We're coming up to an hour. So let the listeners know where they can find you and your work online.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter, always tweeting good things, at Jose Rosado. And in my webpage, rosa.do. That's all. I also have a YouTube account, youtube.com/Jose Rosado.
Okay.
But you only need to write Jose Rosado YouTube or whatever on Google or DuckDuckGo, whatever you use to find, and you will find me.
Awesome.
It's not as a common name. So if you just add my name, Jose Rosado, YouTube, Jose Rosado, Twitter, Jose Rosado webpage or whatever, you'll find me. You'll find me.
Awesome. Jose Rosado. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, bro. It's been great to talk to you. And man, it's been amazing learning more about your story, man.
Thank you so much, man. We keep in touch.
100%.
Until next time.
I am the man, sick with the slang, sick and I'm destined for fame. Do for the fam, not for the gram, stunt me, you're destined for pain. I do not front, I do not scam, put some respect on my name. Sick like Obain, click and I bang, y'all gon' remember the name.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.